Hey, Heather here. Designed to empower individuals to be their best self, the Ron Kitchens Always Forward Leadership Podcast brings fresh understanding to the issues today's leaders are facing and equips them with new perspectives and resources to lead forward. Welcome to today's conversation with Ron Kitchens and Brad Lominick.
Hi, welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast, where each week, Brad Lominick, say hey, Brad.
Always forward, always forward. We're going forward, always.
Wow, so I just got sung to like I have a theme song
that would be
from a guy who once met Chris Tomlin.
Oh,
so I got
listen,
that going for me.
I've written so many songs for Chris Tomlin. Don't let anybody kid you.
He doesn't actually know any of them. You've just written them.
I've written them.
Either
yes.
In a closet in your mother's basement.
Yeah. Yes, I've always wanted to be a jingle singer. You know, the jingles like on commercials and... What's your favorite jingle of all time, by the way, Ron? I'm throwing this at you.
Dr.
Totally out of the
Pepper.
Blue.
The Barry Manilow version, Dr. Pepper song.
Barry Manilow, Dr. Pepper.
Hey, we want to thank you for listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. Our friends at Audible are offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their services. I highly recommend you check out Coach. Lessons on the Game of Life by Michael Lewis. To get started, just go to audibletrial.com/always forward for your free trial. That's again, audibletrial.com/always forward. You'll find the link to it in the show notes. I really encourage you to join us on our journey of knowledge. So today's podcast is actually a special edition. This is in honor of my daughter, Kelsey, who's a college graduate as of today, and graduate of Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas, SMU.
Dun, 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 dun,
it's like Faber College.
That's right, yeah. That's the graduation song, yeah.
So Brad and I were talking, and you know, he said to me, well, what do you wish you knew when you graduated? And we're having this discussion, and Brad, through his leadership at Catalyst, had dozens, if not 100, young college graduates that came to work as part of the internship and then the fellowship program. And so we've had the privilege of working with a lot of kids coming out of college. And so we really want to talk today about what that looks like of knowing your why. Because that was the thing I wish I'd have known. I wish I'd have known my why, because I spent a whole lot of time wandering. And, you know, not all who wander are lost.
Yeah.
But figuring that out. So what do you wish that meant for you, Brad?
Well, I know this. Trying to figure out your why in the context of going to school, going to college, and knowing what that answer to the why is at 18 is really hard. It's almost one of those things that is impossible. Most students who go and have a four-year education somewhere, they're figuring out their why maybe 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years later. So that process is helpful, but I'm not sure it's always the answer. And we always think that the answer to our why is, well, what'd you major in? Your major is now going to be your why. And most of us, if we're honest, when we look back, we never use our major. In fact, we despise our major sometimes.
I know, I'm still big in interpretive dance.
I was a history major.
Yes.
How much have I used that? Never. It's the, you know, one of the worst potential majors ever. But I think part of what the lesson for me in terms of college, major, early 20s, mid 20s was if I'm moving, then I'm moving. In the sense that if I'm progressing and I'm moving forward, then I'm moving closer to my why. And I've heard it said that, you know, you can't steer a parked car.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
You can't. You can turn that steering wheel and it just won't turn. The way you steer a car is you actually have to be moving in a certain direction. And so part of discovering your why during your 20s especially, and I wish somebody would have helped me know this, although I feel like I got it okay. But if somebody has said, Brad, the way you're going to figure out what to do in life is actually by doing stuff. The best way for you to discover what you're supposed to do is actually by going and doing things, compared to sitting around just waiting on something to fall out of the sky and say, oh, that's it. That's my why. Now I've discovered it, and therefore here I go. No, like you try things. You might try 15, 20 different things over the course of a 7-year period between 18 and 25. And then you go, oh, based on that, I've got evidence now of the things that I'm good at, the things I don't like, the things that wake me up in the morning, the things that fire me up. So that'd be one lesson for me looking back.
No, I think that's great. You know, I have the privilege of mentoring within a group of young college people, and people are coming directly out of high school. And we talk about, you know, what do you want to do when you graduate from college? Because it isn't if, it's when. And it's interesting, the jobs they pick are jobs that aren't necessarily in their talent, but they're the only ones they're aware of. So we get a lot of, and these, a lot of these kids tend to come out of inner city circumstances. So invariably it's social worker or teacher, because those are the professions
that they've seen.
And so one of our challenges as the group of leaders have taken this role on is to get them exposed to more people. It's part of the reason I'm there, is because I can talk about my upbringing and how similar we grew up and how I didn't know my job existed. I never knew there was a leader. I never knew that was a thing. You know, people owned their businesses or they worked in a business, but I never knew that leader was a calling.
Yeah.
And that economic development was a real job. And that, so we have to get people exposed to things. But I think we're back to this issue of, and the advice I've given Kelsey is, what is the change that you want to see in the world that you want to be a part of? Now, there are changes I'd like to see in the world. I'd love to see cancer cured. But I don't want to be part of that. I have no capacity to do cancer research. I have no science background of that. The only role I can have is I can raise some money and I can write a check for that. But I'm not going to be in the laboratory with a white coat. But there are things that I care about dramatically with all my soul that I want to be part of that solution. And that needs to be from where I work towards my why. But it's hard as a 22-year-old coming out of college to know that. One, you haven't been exposed to enough. Two, in a lot of cases, you're still living your parents' dream or a friend's dream or a fantasy you saw in a movie or read in a magazine that isn't really what you're hardwired to do. So taking on responsibilities and participating in the game is the only really good way to learn the sport.
Yeah, that's good. I would also add that your who, work on your who in your 20s. The what will take care of itself. And the why is the pursuit. So the why is sort of the North Star of what you're trying to chase or find or discover. Or once you've discovered it, you're now it's leading you. But your who in your 20s is...
So go deeper on who.
Well, it's both who you're doing life with in the sense of spouse, friends. You know, Bob Goff says, who are your eight? The eight that are going to carry your casket. And it's weird in your 20s to think about that.
It
phrase.
Only takes four for Bree, but I need the other four to help out on mine.
You're right. Yeah. But you know, that's part of what you're thinking about is who do you want to be in the race with? Like, who do you want to do life with? And we all think in high school, oh, these are my friends for life. And then you never talk to them again. And then college is a little bit more of a foundational friendship discovery. I think your 20s, though, from 22 to 29 is really when you discover, like, who are those people you're going to do life with? And then who, meaning personally, like, who are you? All the parts of you that are going to be the legacy question. And it's that character. It's the internal parts of you that'll determine the external. It's, are you a person of faith? Do you have character deep-rooted? What's integrity look like for you? How is your character being molded? You know, what are all these pieces that are going to get you to the finish line? And sometimes we forget about that because once we get out of school, we feel like that, okay, that's done. Like, I've completed my character building time. I've got 15 years now, 17 years of schooling, and I'm 22. So now I've got to go just chase life and pursue the dream. And I think 20s are still so foundational for that bridge building. Not the bridge building that you can see, but when somebody builds a bridge, the anchors go really deep. The concrete goes way down in the rocks to hold that bridge up. you know, and we always want to get to the bridge building, but we never think about those foundational
foundation.
Elements. Yeah. And that goes also to in your 20s today, especially. The hard part about being 20 something today is that the Zuckerberg effect is in full force, which means I want to go change the world and I can do it now in my 20s. So therefore I get to 29 and I haven't done that. Now I'm depressed. Now anxiety is the lead story of my life compared to I'm just getting started. And we have to fight against that. We have to give 20 somethings permission to chase some things that may not feel significant. And a lot of 20 somethings are in that role right now where they go, this is not what I thought I would be doing. This is not like sexy.
Thus it has no value. Because I didn't think this is what I was doing, so it must not have any value.
Which is just, it's not true. You're still on the journey. You're still pursuing what you feel like might be the ultimate. But the value in that process right now and in this season is incredibly significant. And the way you steward that is going to determine what's next. So don't give up on that just because you find yourself sort of in between the dream job or the ultimate expression of what you think is your why and something that may still be getting you there.
So I think you're dead on, and I think that's an incredible lesson. But something you said there, and I kind of thought you were going to go in a different direction. And on this who, and I know we're talking about college graduates and talking about this next early leadership, but one of the things on the who that I went to when you said that was, you and I were both with John Acuff at the end of January when he was here at in our home here in Kalamazoo and having a conversation. And, you know, John's living in Nashville now. And one of the conversations that late afternoon with John was, you know, what's the difference between being in Nashville versus Atlanta, where he'd built a great career and family and friends? And he said it was the who. That he's now, you know, in his 40s, he's built a who there of collaboration and support. And I'll be really honest, I was levels of jealousy in him talking about that, that I still am not quite over. That I want that feeling when he talked about the 7 or 8 men who are all you could look at and go, well, those guys are in competition with each other. They all write, they're creatives, right. They speak, they have different things they're doing. But he's talking about, oh no, we meet every week and we're collaborating, we're critiquing each other's stuff and we're helping each other. And then as men, we're helping each other with the family situations. We have kids in different eras and you know, one of us is raising money to do a new crowdfunded hotel. And the other one's, you know, is building this whole speaking career development business. And I thought, oh, that's the next two.
Yeah.
That's what the next enlightenment looks like of we're no longer competitors.
We're collaborators.
We're collaborators and we're going to do life together.
Yeah. And the community is now equally as important when it comes to contentment as calling is, as courage is, as a sense of our what. Community has to be part of the equation now. And in fact, it may be even more important because the value of, again, doing life with people is that you're actually doing life with people and that there's a sense that we're all moving in the same direction. We're all for each other. And those have changed, you know, like a lot of people would say, when you say, who are your 8? They'll give you 8 people that are all in different states and many times different countries.
They were fraternity brothers.
Right. What John's saying is in many ways, I think, a response to the age we live in, which is we're more hungry than we've ever been for community because of the fact that we live in such a digital age with lots of connections, but we're very disconnected. We have more community than ever in quotations, but we don't have real community. So what does real community look like where people are actually in your life and you're on the journey with them compared to just knowing them?
Which is an incredible thing to think about. If we can nurture that from our 20s throughout our life and build community, and people will come in and come out. But if we made community a priority before the next car, before the country club membership, I don't know if people still do that if that's a measure of success.
But it's got to be somewhere on the lineup of things.
I'm willing to do it at Augusta.
Yeah. Me as well.
Call.
Yes.
You know, I'll return that.
Yes.
Matter of fact, if I get a call that's, I don't even recognize the number, but it says Augusta, Georgia, I'll pick it up. Right. I won't let that go to
Chairman, voicemail. Chairman Payne, Billy Payne, yeah. Chairman Payne, we're waiting on your call, buddy.
Yeah, I'd do it just so I could play around a golf with the Condoleezza Rice.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we could do that our entire lives, if we focused on our calling is our community, that's an amazing thought as a 20-something.
It's equally as much community as it is profession, vocation, season of life from what we do.
If you do community and you do it with grace and intensity, a lot of the rest is going to take care of itself.
Yeah, many times it will lead you to that place of finding your why. If you have community that's built in, that's why I just think it's so crucial in your 20s to build that foundation.
I want to thank you all for joining us today. It's been a great time with this special edition of the Always Forward.
The graduate edition.
Special graduate edition.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.